Beacon Press Audio presents After the Worst Day Ever, What Sick Kids Know About Sustaining Hope in Chronic Illness by Duane R. Bidwell. This audiobook is narrated by Luis Moreno, published by Beacon Press Audio, 2024. Author's Note. All of the stories and events in this book happened as described, to the best of my knowledge. Some I observed, others were told to me by children in treatment for end-stage kidney disease. I have tried to retell the stories as faithfully, accurately, responsibly, and empathically as possible. But as I've written elsewhere, no writer can transmit another person's stories without shaping them. A retold story never comes to readers in as pure a state as when the original storyteller entrusted it to a writer. My own biases, values, and intentions shape the way I tell these stories. Even when I quote children directly, you are receiving my interpretation. At times, I have fictionalized a story or parts of it to make you engage more viscerally, seeing, feeling, hearing, smelling, tasting, and sensing what children experience. In doing so, I tried to make the stories believable, lifelike, and probable without changing the facts or language used by children. Because children interpret things within their frames of reference, they sometimes get the facts wrong. For instance, when children say they were in a coma, they probably aren't referring to the medical condition, but to the fact that they were not conscious, which can be caused by many conditions other than a coma. My approach reflects the principles of evocative autoethnography, a research method that encourages scholars to tell stories in ways that evoke emotional and intellectual responses. Children, especially sick children, are considered a vulnerable population by researchers. They require careful protection, and they don't always understand the risks involved in participating in research. All children in the book provided informed assent to become one of our research partners. 5 were old enough also to provide informed consent. Parents or guardians provided informed consent for the other 46. I have changed children's names and personal characteristics to protect their privacy, especially as they mature into adulthood. Most participants provided their own pseudonyms, which reflect idiosyncratic choices. A few asked to use their legal names, and others wanted me to assign a pseudonym to their words. Any resemblance to other people, living or dead, child or grown-up, is coincidental and unintentional. Chapter 1. Tethered. The first time I meet William, I watch him walk through the dialysis unit like a politician working a crowd. The 16-year-old flashes a huge grin and greets nurses by name, shakes their hands as he passes. Each patient tethered by tubing to a dialysis machine receives a nod and a beneficent smile as William strolls the aisle between their vinyl recliners and hospital beds. Kids he recognizes get a high five, or a thumbs up. Spying the unit manager at the end of the room, he spreads his arms wide and strides toward her with purpose. "Sharon," he says. "Give your boy some love." They hug, laughing. It's hard to believe the staff used to tease William for looking glum during treatment. "They don't want you to look depressed or bored," he confides later. "They try to make it fun." Today, he radiates bright energy, and everyone's excited. It's been months since he visited. Last year, he received a kidney transplant and no longer needs dialysis. When his doctor introduces us, William shakes my hand and looks me in the eye. "You can ask me anything you want," he says, nodding. He leans back on his elbows, propping himself on an examination table. "Anything you want to know about me, anything you want to know about anyone else, a whole lot of stuff." A month from now, William's body will reject the transplanted kidney, sending him back to dialysis 3 mornings a week for nearly a year. But right now, none of us know that's coming. His blood work and examination suggest everything is fine. William strikes me as the type of guy destined to get elected homecoming king. Neatly dressed in dark jeans and a polo shirt, he wears a gold chain around his neck, and he's articulate, poised, and carefully groomed. I can smell his cologne as he talks. William tells me he makes friends with everyone at his high school, regardless of clique. People simply like him, and he finds a way to connect to what they care about. His own obsessions focus on the three things he's always wanted to do: play football, join the army, and work as a police officer. On the football field, he was one of those players coaches love because they can do it all: run, block, receive. Fast and agile, William once expected to become a local gridiron star. "I never got tackled the whole season," he says, remembering his time on the middle school team. "Nobody could catch me. And now I can't play football again." 3 years ago, during winter break, William woke up feeling sluggish and achy. His mom thought it was the flu. All through the holidays, his back and legs hurt. He slept most of the day, every day, and his legs quivered when he stood. A week after New Year's, William could barely walk. The flu doesn't cause that sort of pain, and his family doctor sent him directly to the emergency room. Tests revealed blood and protein in his urine. The ER doctor admitted William to the hospital. "The next morning," William remembers, "a whole bunch of doctors came in. They said that I had lupus nephritis and kidney failure." Lupus nephritis, an autoimmune disorder most common among Black Americans and Asian Americans, causes swelling, pain, and loss of function in the kidneys. It can damage them so badly that they stop working completely and permanently. When William and other people with lupus nephritis get sick, their immune systems can't tell the difference between illness and healthy flesh and blood, and their bodies attack their own cells. Protein in William's blood and urine suggested that he needed treatment right away. 3 days later, he started dialysis. "That was the worst day ever," he says. "I started throwing up and stuff, and I passed out. When I woke up, I could not remember." The hospitalization initiated a years-long routine. 3 days a week, 52 weeks a year, William and his mom woke at 5 a.m. to drive dark streets to the hospital, where he received 3 hours of dialysis before going to school late. He missed a lot of class, which made it tough to keep up his grades. Sometimes his teachers didn't believe he had health issues. They thought he was skipping school. The struggles didn't end after William received a transplant. He continues to cope with the disease and its effects, including side effects from transplant medications: nausea, dizziness, high blood pressure, diarrhea, sore joints, canker sores, rash, fever, headaches, and tremors. More than anything, William has had to reimagine his future in light of limitations. His childhood dreams seem impossible. Millions of people have a chronic illness like William's. Nearly half the U.S. population, including 1 in 4 children, live with at least one chronic condition: heart disease, stroke, cancer, diabetes, asthma, cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, and so on. About 10,000 children in the United States live with chronic kidney disease. Every year, about 1,500 advance to the final terminal point: end-stage renal disease. Children who begin dialysis before age 15 usually live about 20 years after diagnosis. Those 20 years are not pleasant. End-stage disease shortens life, increases suffering, and requires patients to be tethered to a dialysis machine for hours each week. Some children don't go to the hospital for treatment, but spend 12 to 14 hours a night, every night, receiving dialysis at home. For them, sleepovers, dating, late-night social activities, and other childhood experiences are complicated and sometimes not worth the effort. Children develop kidney disease for a variety of reasons. Some are born with a defect that keeps their kidneys from working effectively. Others develop kidney failure due to genetics, infections, physical injury, or urinary problems.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?